John Walden here. We're studying Galatians. Welcome to our Bible study. If you have your Bible handy, turn to the first chapter, and we're beginning with verse 6. I marvel. I'm surprised at you. I'm dismayed at what I hear. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the grace of Christ. That's where he called us. He called us to grace, not to the law. These Galatians were being disturbed by law teachers, Judaizers. But the Lord Jesus has called us into the grace of Christ. I marvel that you're so soon removed to another gospel. Not from one Savior to another Savior. There isn't any other Savior. But removed from Christ, the only Savior, to another gospel. And this word another is different from the word another in verse 7. This one means another kind, a different kind, a perverted and opposition gospel, which is not another of the same kind. They were being misled by a teaching which was not what they had been taught by the Apostle Paul. Now, there are many broad-minded people, put that in quotations, in our day who say that there's room for all kinds of beliefs. We ought to believe everything. Anything. Well, the Apostle Paul didn't agree with that. He said very plainly that there are some people which are teaching something that will trouble you, which will mislead you, which will distress you, which will bring you into problems and trouble. It is not another of the same kind, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They would twist it out of shape. They would turn the true gospel of Christ to make it worthless. And this is exactly what happens with false teaching. Now, there is only one gospel. We may as well be perfectly frank about this. I do not accept the various teachings of the various churches with this idea that one is as good as another so long as you're sincere about it. This is perfect nonsense. There are certain rules of mathematics. If I want to find a certain place on the map, I know that that place is going to be at that same place where it always has been, and I've got to have a map and follow that map if I want to get there. And if you want to be saved, my dear friends, you're going to have to believe the gospel of Christ, not a perversion gospel, not an opposition gospel, not a new invention of some of these men who think that they have something very wonderful to teach. Well, what is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, there is no other gospel. The whole Bible is not gospel. The word gospel means good news. And the good news is that Christ took our place at Calvary and died for us, and that he is risen again from the dead. Well, you say, what is the difference? Well, the test here is grace. A gospel that teaches you that you can be saved partly or wholly by your own doing is a perversion. And the minute that you add good works, law-keeping, to the gospel of God's grace, you have spoiled the whole thing. My wife and I take care of boys and girls. We have a home for children, have had for many, many years, and it takes a lot of milk for our boys and girls. If someone drove up and said, we have 10 gallons of milk here in the car we'd like to give you, I'm sure this would be most welcome, unless they should happen to add, of course, there has been mixed in with this milk a few ounces of poison. No, thank you. We don't want that unloaded here. In fact, you would call the police to have people like that arrested. Well, you say, think how much milk there is and how very little poison, just a few ounces of poison and 10 gallons of milk. But yes, you see, when you add poison to milk, the whole thing becomes poison. And when these people come around your door selling you books that are filled with references from the Bible, don't be misled by this. Don't suppose that just because there are many quotations from the Bible that it's all good gospel. It isn't necessarily so at all. It may be so twisted, so badly filled with all kinds of things that ought not to be, that the whole thing is a poison. And so he says, a curse upon these people. Verse 8, that though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Make sure, my friends, that you're trusting in the gospel that was preached by the Apostle Paul and his associates in the first century. Well, you say, if an angel from heaven delivered it, you certainly could accept that. Well, there have been a few people bringing us things that they say angels from heaven have brought, but don't you ever forget that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians says so. Satan is very subtle. The gospel is not opposed now, not in our country anyway, as it once was, by persecution. It's opposed by deception. Satan has found that he can infiltrate. He can get his servants, his ministers, that's what they're called in that same passage in 2 Corinthians 10, they're called the ministers of Satan. He can introduce his ministers who will teach you things which are not true. Well, if this sounds hard, remember that the Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write this, and he uses the strongest of language. And yet, it's not a matter of passion and temper. It's a matter of having carefully considered this and realizing that they were being removed, being carried away. It had not yet been completed. But realizing that these people wanted to pervert the gospel of Christ, he steps in by the Holy Spirit's help to stop this thing, to show how wrong this is, to show that only a curse can be upon those who preach any other gospel than that which had been preached and received by these Galatians. And in verse 10, he gives his own feelings about this. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant or the slave of Christ. The Apostle Paul had received the Lord Jesus Christ as his own Savior, and had given himself so completely to the Lord that he calls himself the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now he said, I want you to know that I have no axe to grind, as we say. I have no one that I'm trying to please except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'm not working for some church. I'm not trying to build up some particular doctrine or dogma or some school of theology. I am here to say what God has given me to say for the honor and glory of Christ. And then he adds, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I certify you. That's the same word he uses in the scripture I just quoted from 1 Corinthians 15. I declare unto you the gospel. You know what a certified check is. When you get a certified check, you can cash it almost anywhere, because people know that it is good. Well, here is a certified gospel. He said, I want you to know, brethren, and I tell you truthfully, that the gospel that I'm preaching is not after man. It is not something which was developed in the schools of thought, the schools of theology. It was not something which a group of men got together and concocted. This is a message from heaven. The gospel came from God himself. It is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, met the Lord Jesus. Christ stopped him, told him that he was the one whom Paul was persecuting, and revealed to him that he was the one who had died on the cross in Paul's place and in our place, and was now risen from the dead and exalted to the glory of heaven. And he gave to Paul the story that he wanted preached, the gospel story. Now Paul tells us in verse 12 that he not only did not originate this himself, but he did not consult with anyone else. He didn't get this from man. and neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. A little later on, he develops this further. He not only received from Christ the clear gospel story, but he received a commission from Christ to preach the clear gospel story, and he proceeded to preach it. Now, he tells us in the 13th verse, "You have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. You know what I was in the past. I didn't get this from my ancestors. This isn't something that I learned as a child. This was completely new to me. I had to change. I had to acknowledge that I was wrong." He does this in order to prove to them that the gospel which he preaches is a revelation from God and not something which he received from man. Friends, I wish I could impress this upon you. We have a gospel story to preach, which is directly from heaven. God has sent this gospel story, and those who believe it are saved eternally, and those who reject it are lost eternally. The whole world is divided by their attitude toward the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you what it means to you. Have you received Christ? Have you trusted him? If you have, join me in thanks. Our Father, we are thankful to thee for thy Son, our Savior. We thank thee that he died for us and rose again, and that salvation is by grace through faith. We pray that those who have heard it today will trust our Savior, and that all of us will live to please him. In his name, amen.